in your pocket.
Good morning, you beautiful bunch of fuckers, and welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. It is Wednesday, April 24th. We are here live. It is time for Destination Health. Phone lines are open. Jump in and join us. I'm going to give you that phone number. You can always use the Call Now button on your app. Just hit that, and you'll be right here with us. Or you can dial 319-527-6791. We are also on the live stream, and I may play around today trying to answer some questions in the chat. So if you're watching any of the live streams, go ahead and type your questions into the chat. I'll see if I can get to some of those today. I've got a couple things I want to talk about while we are getting ready for the calls. Where do I want to start? So I read another article. This is certainly not the first article like this, but this is a new one. This is a paper that's just been published. This was called the CAP trial. They were checking how effective it is to test PSA levels for men when it comes to prostate cancer. Now, I've talked about this topic many times. It's been quite a while, so it's a good time to talk about it again. PSA score is not a very accurate measurement of whether or not somebody has prostate cancer. That's the first problem, is that there's not a strong correlation between that number going up. There's a weak correlation. That's why we use it. Only a weak correlation, though, and it's all we have if you believe that we should be looking for cancer all over our body, and I don't believe we should be looking for it. Now, there are a lot of other problems with PSA testing. It doesn't correlate well to cancer, but we use it. And more than likely, if you show up with a high PSA score, they're going to want to do a biopsy. Now, if you're not familiar with biopsies, they stick a needle in, find the tumor, and pull some of the tumor out with the needle so they can test it to see if it is cancerous or not. The problem is, with the prostate, you can't see the tumor. We have no way to see the tumor. So when they do a biopsy, they take 12 different needle sticks. So they pull cells out of 12 different places. It's just a guess. Now, it's possible even with 12 needle sticks, you miss the potential tumor. Plus, it's 12 needle sticks. There are downsides. There are some pretty severe side effects to biopsies or other interventions when it comes to the prostate. Incontinence, you'll be wearing diapers for the rest of your life. Impotence, you won't be having sex the rest of your life, or both have occurred just from biopsies and other procedures. So we would hope that if you're going to go through this, there should be a benefit. Well, here's one of the best ways you can tell whether or not there's a benefit to this kind of testing, because here's what you'll find in the real world. You will find people that will say, oh, no, you should never skip that. My brother-in-law, they found his cancer and they saved his life. Well, that may not be true. They may have found the cancer, maybe, but they may not have saved his life. The thing with cancer is we don't know where cancer may go. We have cancerous cells in our body at all times. Our immune system takes care of them. So just because we're out looking for and finding cancerous cells does not mean it would have ever developed into a dangerous cancer. On the other hand, we have cancers that grow so fast, especially now. We have what we're referring to now as turbo cancers. And I believe there is a correlation with the vaccination and turbo cancers. But these happen so fast that you could test every week and it wouldn't do you any good. Because you could test 1 week and not find anything. And then the next thing you know, you're in stage three or four. That seems to be a new pattern. So is there any benefit to this kind of testing or not? Well, this trial doesn't seem to show any benefit whatsoever. They analyzed 400,000 men. Some were given PSA tests and some weren't, the control group. So they followed up. Now, this was a long, long study, 10, 15, and 18-year follow-up. There was no significant difference in deaths from any cause, and that's the measure that matters most, for the 10, 15, or 18-year follow-ups. No significant difference in deaths. So nobody lived any longer because we were doing all of this testing. What I really wish they would do is go through that same group and figure out when they did get tested and got a biopsy or whatever was recommended, how many problems occurred. But we don't need to know that. Why would you go through this if there is no benefit? If nobody is going to live longer, because that's what should happen. If the whole point is we have to catch cancer sooner so it doesn't kill you, well, that's not happening. The same number of people are dying whether they do PSA test or not. So why would you do it? There's a good book about this. If you want to know what it is, give me a call. We can talk about that. Phone lines are open. We're going to get to those calls here in just a minute. Start dialing. You can hit that call now button on your app or dial this number. And I'm going to get to those calls here in just a couple minutes now, so line them up. 319-527-6791 is the number to join us. Let's, here's what I want to talk about today. This is kind of exciting. We are launching today our very first branded product. So we have lots of products in our store. We are very proud and happy with all of our third-party vendors. We work really hard to find the very best companies. Most of them are very small companies. And there are a lot of challenges with that. But there is a product that we sell a lot of. I'm a big fan of it. And I've talked about it before. This product is what we would call a commodity. We're just going to be completely transparent about this. The stuff we are now selling, and it is our own brand, we went out and sourced the product and we bottle it and it is now our product. Mind Fuel. Any idea what we might be replacing with Mind Fuel? This is our branded C8, 100% pure organic C8, which is the same product we sell now as Brain Octane. It is our own branded product now. We go out and source our own, bottle it, and we will ship it to you. We were able, we've been hearing an awful lot about inflation, prices of everything going up. We've been very, very disciplined in our store. We have not raised prices. We're doing everything we can not to. You've also heard of something called shrinkflation, meaning the product you were buying a month ago, the price stayed the same, but the size actually shrunk. So they were selling you 16 ounces. They kept the price the same. Now it's 14 ounces. We did the opposite. One of the reasons we went out and sourced this on our own was we were able to create a better margin. So we were able to inflate the size of the product, not the price. So we've always sold a 14-ounce bottle of Brain Octane. Now we will sell a 16-ounce bottle of Mind Fuel, no increase in price. So you're getting 2 ounces more for the same price you've always paid for Brain Octane. Same product. C8, pure organic C8 is pure organic C8. We're not trying to fool anybody. We would love it if you would continue buying ours. It's a better deal for everybody all around. We are going to start working on branding some more of our own products. You know what you're buying then, and two, we can create better margins and try to hold inflation down. In fact, we are working to beat inflation with this product. So head on over to the store and grab yourself some Mind Fuel. All right. What else do I have? I think that might be it for now. Let's see what we have for phone calls. They're starting to come in. Jump in and join us. Hit that call now button or dial 319-527-6791. Let's get started in Las Vegas. Ron, welcome.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
Joel Salatin and the Rogue Food Conference, May 17th and 18th at Polyface Farms. West Swope, Virginia. So anyway, I'm all in there. Chinatown Band is going to have a table. I'm bringing my instruments. I'm bringing 2 mandolins that I used to carry with me in my truck. Everything's for sale. Good deals. Well, for good instruments, for good deals. So I don't want to spend too much time talking about that. But I can't say enough good things about Joel Salatin. I was reading his book last night for the second time.
And which one?
Homestead Tsunami, the latest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good
one. Kevin, this is what you got to do. You know how you're getting your homestead together?
Yes.
You can do a trucking report from your homestead standing on your balance board and then give a quick explanation of why standing on a balance board is so good for you. And that, you know, you see what I mean? And then
there you go.
Syndicate it. Syndicate it. 5 minutes, free advice. Hey, it could work. Wayne's had a 3-hour radio show. He still does, but he does 2 hours of it on TV. So into the TV thing. It would go perfect. A 5-minute trucking report with you standing on your balance board.
There you go.
So anyway, I'm going to be at the Rogue Food Conference. I want to talk to everybody. And can I call in next week and remind everybody?
Join us live when you're there.
Well, it's on a Friday. Yeah, we could see that. What I want to do is have people send, you know, video, whatever. See, I talk all the time. I talk about music. I talk about bandwidth. Whatever they want to video it and send it to you. Because
yeah.
I don't do any of that stuff. I got very few things on the internet.
Well, see if you can find somebody there, and we'll even see if we could get you into the live stream.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, you're
all right.
This is getting too complicated. But anyway, right. We'll see what we can do.
We'll see. Let us know. All right. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Can you hear me okay?
It's a little noisy, but I think we can make it work. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, I got a question. My girlfriend is on Mounjaro. When I met her, she weighed 167 pounds, and over about the past 5.5 months, she's now down to 138. When I met her and we talked about this, I got her into intermittent fasting and, you know, cutting out carbs and sugar. But I would like her to get off with Mounjaro. Can you talk about, are there, you know, do they know what side effects there are, or are there any long-term side effects? Because she's trying to wean herself off of it now, but when she does, she says her cravings come back, her appetite really comes back. So can you just talk about what this Mounjaro does to you?
Yeah. Did she take it strictly for weight loss, or is she diabetic?
Well, I think she probably was at least pre-diabetic, but they didn't really test her. They didn't test her A1C, but the doctor knew she was having weight loss problems, so he just wrote up that she was a diabetic, and that's how she was able to get it.
Oh, boy. So that makes me a little crazy. Doctors are allowed to prescribe what's called off-label. So doctors are given the leeway to prescribe any drug they want for any condition. There doesn't have to be any testing whatsoever. A doctor can just say, hey, I think this drug is going to help this person, and I'm going to prescribe it. That's called off-label prescribing. And I'm okay with off-label prescribing. It doesn't bother me. I think this is the case where it's been abused. But here, I don't even want to get into it. So let's talk about a very, very long-term serious side effect of Mounjaro. Do you know what that might be?
I've tried to figure it out. I've tried to Google it, but I haven't got anything specific that they know of.
Well, here's the longest side effect I can think of. Death is possible.
That's a bad side effect.
It causes stomach paralysis, which can also cause bowel blockages, and bowel blockages can cause death. It paralyzes people's stomach. Nausea is a horrible side effect for a lot of people. There's stomach problems, stomach pain, lots of digestive. And here's the other problem with it. People can't get off of it because someone's putting the weight back. So I don't know what to get off of this, other than these are highly toxic, dangerous drugs that we should not be on for at all, period. And she has to realize, is she going to take this drug the rest of her life?
Well, definitely not. I told her, I said, you need to get off that.
Let's think about something for a second. Let's just think about the logic of this. I know that I can't continue taking this drug for the rest of my life. Then what is the point in taking it today?
Well, I think her point is she just wants to get down to a certain weight, then she's going to get off it. But
she has already she has already experienced, as she tries to wean off the drug, her cravings come back, her appetite comes back. You cannot control your appetite long term. You just can't. You will eat. So she already knows that it doesn't matter what weight she gets down to, she will start gaining it right back as soon as she goes off the drug. So what is the point taking it today? That's the best argument I can make.
Right.
Okay. Why would
well,
you
I mean,
risk
I've explained
any,
the same thing to her.
But
I,
for a temporary weight loss.
Right. Right.
Here's
well,
the thing.
Like I said, I just didn't.
I could absolutely say this. I don't care if they tried to claim there were zero side effects. I don't care if they come up with a drug that helps you lose weight with zero side effects. I will never recommend it. I don't
well,
care how
right.
safe they are. These drugs are not safe. They have lots of problems with these drugs, lots of them. There are stories everywhere. And it's for temporary weight loss. I just don't get it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've tried to tell her, and I haven't, and she knows that she has to, she can't go back to eating and the way she was. She can't go back to drinking soda and all that, because that was her main problem. She drank a lot of her calories. And so, yeah, that's like I said, I just wanted to know if there's any, you know, really long-term side effects that they know about.
Yeah. Well, and even worse, we don't have a ton of long-term studies. We know
right.
the side effects short-term can be pretty horrendous. Isn't that, that should be enough. Anything that does that much, that has the potential to do that much damage early on, and we have evidence that it does damage sometimes from day one, then what do we think the long-term effects are going to be? Do we think that this is going to add to anybody's health?
No, definitely not.
Do we even think that somehow it could be neutral?
Yeah, that's probably a no on that either.
Yeah, of course it's not. We know there's some pretty bad side effects right away. We know things aren't working the way our body was meant to work. We are using these drugs to alter the hormone levels in our body. If you listen to the show, you've heard me talk about hormones before. We should not
right.
be messing with them.
Right. Well, all right, Kevin. Well, that's all I have for you. I just
I wish
you know,
I had a
try and convince her to get off of it.
I wish, you know, this is just as frustrating as the question I get: how do I convince my spouse, my father, my brother, my son, my daughter, my cousin, my friend to stop killing themselves with food? We know how to be really healthy, but we can't convince anybody else. I did not think that this many people would be willing to take these expensive, toxic pharmaceuticals just to lose a temporary 20% of their body weight. It makes no sense to me. I didn't see this coming.
Well, apparently there's a lot of them out there who are willing to.
There are. A lot.
Yep.
I not exaggerating. There is not a week that goes by that I don't see 10 headlines about these weight loss drugs. They're everywhere. And here's the problem.
Right.
Most of the stories are fairly positive, but we know why. Big Pharma spends a gazillion dollars on advertising, and Big Pharma gets to tell us whatever they want to tell us.
Right, right. All right, Kevin, thank you. I appreciate your input.
You're welcome. Like I said, I wish I had a better answer for this one, but I don't. Let's go to Illinois. Teresa, welcome to the program.
Hi. Today I'm calling about vitamin D levels. My doctor
okay.
says my vitamin D level is way too high.
Let me guess. It's over 150.
No, it's over 120.
Yeah, it's a little high. I wouldn't get too crazy about it. I would just adjust your daily dose down a little bit. Are you using the vitamin DK drops, or are you using something else?
I'm using the vitamin D emulsion from the Biotech?
Okay.
Yeah. The ones that you recommend.
You may want to throw in the – we have one that also has vitamin K2 in it. It's really good to keep a balance of D and K2. I am not worried about 130, 135 here and there. How many drops a day are you taking?
Just one in the morning. One big one,
really?
So maybe two drops a day.
Wow. So two drops a day. Are you also taking Cardio Miracle every day?
No, I am not.
Okay. You have really incredible vitamin D levels then. You're either getting a lot of good vitamin D in your diet, or you're getting vitamin D from the sun.
Yes.
Good. That's really good. That's our best form. So you could make it once. Actually, for a while, I would alternate days. I would take one drop every other day for a while. And let I'm not worried about this. I could go through a list of potential side effects of vitamin D toxicity, and I'm positive you have none of them. I've never seen any of these symptoms show up. Honestly, I've never seen them show up, ever. And
so
I've had
my
people
mother,
that came in at 160, 170, and they're still not showing symptoms. There's no point in staying at those levels. So I'm not encouraging anybody, but all we have to do is just adjust our dose a little bit.
So my mother, she just had hers tested too, and she is at 60, and her gerontology doctor told her that she needs to dial back on the vitamin D because it restricts blood vessels in the brain.
Oh, please.
That's what I said. Okay.
Come on. Where do they come up with this stuff? Seriously.
I don't know. And so then, you know, a couple of days later, I got mine at over 120. It's like, well, then what's 60? That's no big deal, right?
Well, 60 is within the normal medical range.
Mm-hmm. Which is what, 30 to 100 or something, right?
Yeah, right. So, and I've seen 30 to 80, 30 to 100. The functional range I consider, you know, I like to stay as close to 100 as I can. 80 to 100 is where I usually shoot for, and I can usually stay there just fine. 60 is just fine. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily try to get her to take more, but I'm certainly not going to tell her to dial back.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I told my father that too. I said, don't do that. We'll just leave it the way it is.
Whatever level she is supplementing at to be at 60 is just fine. Don't mess with that.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much. That's all I had today, Kevin. I really appreciate all the information.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. All right. Well, that was odd. What just happened here? There we go. All right. Let's go back to the phones. For some reason, my whole phone board just disappeared, and I was trying to figure out what was going on. All right. Let's go to Massachusetts. Todd, welcome to the program.
Hey, funny, Todd should follow Odd. You're having the problems, but here I am. I wanted to say, you must be really weird, Kevin, if you're talking smack about all those drugs. You must be really weird that you don't want incontinence and impotence. And it's just, it was funny when I heard you say it. It made me think of, you know, you're really weird for eating ribeyes and eggs for breakfast. And, you know, what's really weird is getting your body parts chopped off and from, you know, complications to diabetes. And anyway, I just thought it was funny when you were ripping on the drugs. And
there is zero doubt left in my mind. There wasn't ever much doubt once I started changing the way I ate and saw the immediate results. And I want to go back and also clarify that when I changed the way I ate, I was around 51, 52. It's not like it was the first time in my life that I had tried a different diet. I had tried lots of different diets. I had tried lots of different exercise routines. I had tried virtually everything they told us that you were supposed to do to stay healthy. And none of it worked. Some of it made things significantly worse. 4 years of being a vegetarian made things significantly worse. That wasn't supposed to happen. And
exactly.
None of those other ways of eating improved anything. Now, some of them caused me to lose some weight, which was part of the goal. But unfortunately, every time I was able to lose weight, it was because I was hungry most of the time. And that is a miserable way to live. And that's why it's not sustainable. You do it for a while. But after a while, everybody I know falls off that wagon and says, I'm just not going to be hungry all day long. It's miserable.
And look what happens when they don't fall off.
We're right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You get mental health problems. They lose their hair. They go pallid. Yeah, it's horrible.
Right. So if you starve your body for nutrition, when you're following the calories in, calories out method, and you're eating virtually anything, you're just trying to moderate your calories, you're right. Your health will deteriorate because you're not getting enough nutrition. You're basically starving your body. And so and none of those diets or other ways of eating or exercise routines, nothing ever made anything better other than losing some weight once in a while, which I always gained back. But none of my joint pain went away. None of my digestive issues went away. Sometimes they got worse on certain types of diets. Skin issues got worse. So when we started down the path of paleo, there were immediate results. As soon as I cut out grains, within 72 hours, I noticed a difference in the way I felt. That was incredible to me. And every change since then. Okay, we cut out grains, and look, we got all these benefits. We feel much better. Ooh, now we're not going to cut out just grains. We're going to cut out all those extra sugars and go lower carb. And things got better. And then we said, well, look, what if we go so low carb that we put our body into this thing called ketosis? And that one was life-changing with energy levels and brain clarity and mood and digestive issues disappeared once we figured out digestion, skin cleared up. I have another experience, and I've talked about this a little bit in the past. I'm going to talk about it more. It is still April in the Pacific Northwest. You know what I have right now that I've never had in April before?
Some kind of plant coming up? I'm not sure.
Nope.
What?
I have a tan.
Oh, I do too. Yeah.
In April.
It's surprising where you live. Yeah.
I know. Yep. We've had a kind of an odd spring. We will have two or three days in a row where you'd swear summer was here already. Beautiful blue skies, pure sunshine. And it used to be that even if we had days like that in April, I would not take my shirt off while I was working because I would burn. I would forget about it, and within 45 minutes, that's all it would take, even though the sun isn't all that strong here in April, I would burn. So what I would do is and the way I would have to not burn is I would time it so I would only take my shirt off or clothes off at solar noon because there are less burning rays at solar noon. And I would time things so I would only stay out for 20 or 25 minutes, and then I would try to ease my way in. The problem is too early in the year, you start to get a little bit of color, and then you go a week without having any sun, and you have to start all over. So the cool thing now, I don't have to think about it. When the sun is shining, I just take clothes off, and I don't burn. That's incredible to me.
And you're not using 382.5 sunblock?
Zero sunblock. The sun is out. It's nice and warm. I'm going to take my shirt off. And yesterday, Lisa looked at me and she said, you've got quite a tan going.
Yep, it's incredible. And don't forget what Hippocrates never said, let food be thy sunblock. And I believe it, you know. The carnivore diet really protects you.
Of all the things, all the improvements, for some reason, that one shocks me the most.
It's up there with your teeth will heal, your cavities will heal themselves. It's really a big deal.
That's another one. You're right. So You know, I am absolutely a zealot about this now. I realize how incredible the human body is, and that when you look around at human beings today, it is a crime what has occurred. We just poison people their whole life now.
Yeah, and now with needles. Yeah, it's. I didn't really want to go there, for 2 seconds, because I went to a biologic dentist yesterday. I want to tell you about it, but I was going to call up and give you a scenario, maybe not today, but of, you know, say, you know, you and I are both football coaches, and we know at the end of the year we're going to be in the Super Bowl, and it's a metaphor for election, and bringing in all kinds of characters that are not on my team, and I start giving them all kinds of money, and I've heard that. So now I'm going to switch from football to legal aliens, and I heard that they're able to buy weapons. I don't know about concealable weapons anyway, and, you know, so it's just very spooky to me. You've got people getting jabbed, you know, it's like softening the target, and
yeah.
You've got people
Let's clarify a little. That we start softening the target before the child's even born. Horrible prenatal care, people scheduling C-sections for convenience, vaccines within hours of being born, formula rather than breastfed has been a strong recommendation forever. Come on, it's shocking how bad we come into this world now.
Yep. I was talking to a woman with a 4-year-old daughter, and she says, I didn't bring it up. She said, but she started talking about it for some reason. No, I insist she uses fluoride toothpaste, and her father says no. And I was like, you know, I just said, it could lower the IQ. You know, that's it. But she still insisted. She paused.
Yeah.
And so anyway, and I was like, she needs it. I was like, oh, she does. And I know you know that because you read what. But I didn't push her. You know, it's a friendly situation. And
right.
But yeah, you're right. They come into the world. So anyway,
What a system. I mean, when you take a step back and you look at everything we've done with health care or sick care, our food supplies, the toxins, everything we've done, it is, you can only come to one, maybe two conclusions. One, I still hold out the thought that it's just about money. It's possible that this is all just about money. Because the only other theory is just evil. I mean, at least if it's about money, yeah, I can't really excuse anybody, but that would be far worse than saying, look, if we feed them like this and we give them these shots, we can control them. I mean, there's an evil side to this.
Yeah, and that's why I was kind of mentioning the election coming up, because if you're giving people these vaccines, these jabs, and – you know, you're breaking all these, you're letting all these people in, and you're just, it's more, there's something more than money. And I think it is evil. And I don't know, it's maybe not an issue for today, but the health of the people
is
so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an issue. So yesterday, and as I go through this, stop me and ask me questions. I might not remember all the details, but I showed up at a biologic dentist yesterday. I scheduled a visit some time ago, and I went there, and I was hoping for some kind of magic, and if there was any magic in it, it was that, you know, it's like, what's the reason for your visit today? And I literally said, I'm here to lose weight, and they get that. You know? And she just nodded her head, you know, she's the dentist, you know, and she gets it. But the first thing she recommended, believe it or not, first thing that came out of her mouth, because she did spend a lot of time just being curious about my body and not my mouth, my lifestyle, not my mouth, you know,
right,
my habits and my sleep and how I breathe, everything. But she did mention a CGM, and she was a little bit, you could see, not much, but she was a little bit surprised I knew what it was. And then I told her, only because I know you had mentioned it, about the, I'll call it the CKM, the continuous ketone. Anyway, I just threw it in there. But she mentioned that, but she thought. So it turns out I have three different things in my mouth that could be affecting my health. And a couple of calls ago, we talked about if you know, if you have, say, gold, some people have gold or, you know, especially everybody has mercury or amalgams. And,
right.
and when those cross, that crosses in your mouth, the saliva crosses those, it creates a current, like when you put a screwdriver across your starter motor
yeah.
or battery. And so it's really, to understate it, I like to say it's ungood. So she taught me something I didn't know, and she said, you know, she suspected, well, she knows because I have mercury in my mouth, I have one mercury filling, and she says, that's enough to throw off the biome in your mouth, which will certainly throw off the biome in your gut. And she says, candida and mercury support each other. And I was like, oh, God. So, that, you know, who? I didn't know that. You know, I've listened to a lot of biology. Yeah. So, yeah. So I became hopeful that, okay, if I have that last amalgam
right.
out, you know, but I'm not going to, you know, stake my reputation on it or anything or hold my breath because I'm just not sure yet. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I understand that thought. You've been through a lot. It's hard to believe that we're going to find one small thing, but eventually we are going to find one small thing, or you're going to fix five small things. And then after a while, you're going to go, oh, you know what? Things are starting to get better. Maybe it isn't just one thing. Maybe it's several, and this is part of it. But here's what we know. I mean, there's another way of looking at this. We know that filling being in your head is bad. So let's get it out of there. I mean, whether it fixes everything or not, so what? We know it's bad. Let's get it out of there.
Yeah, and you always go back to the hunter-gatherer thing. I go back in certain situations to, you know, you have truck drivers that lose 100 pounds in a year, and I'm on truck stop meat, and I'm sure they've got amalgams. So this is why I don't hold out. But it's going to be...
We shouldn't think that way. And the reason is, remember when I just said, maybe we'll find five small things.
Right.
So
yep.
part of what the thinking we have to get away from, nothing about this is ever, always, never, 100%. We get wildly different results because there are so many variables. That, yes, of course, there is somebody out there that has 16 mercury fillings in their head and eats the standard American diet and is still skinny, right? I mean, there are people out there like that.
We call them fat.
Why?
We're jealous.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right, but why? We don't know. There's too many variables. But we do know the overwhelming majority of people who get away from the standard American diet and eat real food get significantly healthier.
Absolutely. They definitely feel better. We all know that who have done it.
Yeah. So the averages prove the points, not the exceptions.
Yes. Yeah. Well said. She did ask me, do I know what a cavitation is? And I was like, oh, God. I was like, I know it's not a cavity, but I came up with it, and she filled in the blanks. But it's something to do with the infection underneath the old dental work. It's in the jawbone, and they do ozone.
I could explain to her what cavitation is in a diesel engine.
You can explain it to me, too, because I don't know.
Okay. So cavitation actually occurs. This used to be a big problem when we only had green coolant. Green coolant is we have to keep recharging it with additives. And once we got to what we call the long life coolants, this problem mostly disappeared. So when you get air bubbles inside of hot liquid, coolant, water, the stuff we've got flowing around in your engine, those bubbles will explode. That they get to a certain point and they explode. And when they explode next to the liners of the cylinders, they every tiny little explosion of one of those bubbles is like a little piece of sandpaper. It takes a little bit of metal away. And over time, you can actually, cavitation will drill holes through that metal. And the additives that are in the coolant are there to protect that engine from that and that the term is cavitation. So it's almost like, so using this word here makes sense. Something is eating away at the bone underneath the tooth is what it sounds like here.
Yep. Yeah, it's perfect for each scenario. Whether it's engines or jawbones and teeth.
Yep.
So just to go into a little bit of the nuts and bolts of it. So, the lady that was working on me, she owns the practice, and her marketing says it's the only one of its kind in the nation, and that it combines biologic dentistry with naturopathic medicine. She has an MD there and some other stuff. And so, yeah, it's nice. But she did refer me to an outside of her, physical practice and another ND. And eventually I asked her, what about the one under your roof? And so I was getting a little, I was just feeling through the cracks, I guess, to this is a business she's running and maybe it's a friend of hers or she gets a kickback. But it's a waste of my time to go any deeper into that. I just, I took it as it came. But she wanted, so on my tooth, I have a titanium post, which is one of the three metals. I don't think I mentioned that a minute ago. So I have metal. No. She just called it metal, quote unquote metal.
Okay.
She didn't define it. She had metal, mercury, and titanium. The next to the titanium post, there's a gap where food gets stuck. And she knew that before I could ever tell her, I guess, because that's what happens, I guess. And so that tooth that's next to it has the filling in it. And she wants to take the filling out. And then the tooth next to it, which is the titanium, put a crown over it. And for that, she wants the sum of $3,000. And, I just like, wait a minute. Why don't we just fix the mercury? And she's like, well, eventually you could get a cavity if we don't fill a gap at food keeps getting in there. And I didn't want to argue with her, but I was like, I don't eat food that will cause a cavity. The last time I was at a dentist was 10 years ago. And by the way, she did tell me, grudgingly, she finally said at some point about a half hour into my visit, she said, well, you do have very nice teeth. And I was hoping she was going to ask, I was going to tell her about what's in your store, which I use the Primal Life charcoal powder, which everybody should get if they haven't tried it. And so she was happy with my teeth, but she wanted to do that. And I was like, well, you won't take my insurance, even though my insurance will cover this. And you want me to give you a check, whatever, cash for $3,000. And I'm like, and I didn't say this to her. I said it to someone else who came in the room to do the money part. I said,
right.
Just tell her, it's her business. I'll just use my insurance and it'll send the check to you. Anyway, she didn't want to do it. I just wanted to tell those details for anyone who's thinking about a biologic dentist. And but she did sit and after she was done with me, she sat in a chair and talked to me like we were just, in someone's house having a discussion. She was asking about, my habits and what I do. And so she was treating me as a whole organism and not just a tooth
right.
or a mouth. And anyway, so I just wanted to throw it in there. I was hoping for some more magic there, but I'm going to go to a regular dentist and have the mercury taken out. And for that, by the way, she wanted $775 just to do the filling. And I'm like, I don't know what my dentist would charge, a regular dentist would charge, but it would be covered by insurance. But one of the, you're saying a group of, it might boil down to a group of five things or seven things that finally gets my health straightened out. I want to tell you that to that point, whenever it was 3 years ago or so, you were talking about Wim Hof and cold and I was doing the cold at that time. I've tried it off and on since then, but I've recently started doing it again. And I don't have any wood and some plastic door here to knock on, but my body shape is changing. My clothes are fitting differently, and I think it's the cold specifically. On top of the other 100 things that I've changed,
right?
But
I
there's something. I don't remember reading it in Wim Hof's book. I only made it halfway through because I didn't like his book. But it, cold shock proteins. I know we talk about heat shock proteins, but they're a little bit different. I can't remember how they're different, but I just wanted to throw it out there and say that I think the cold is a part of it.
I don't think you're going to find one big trigger. I think you're going to keep working to improving things. And like you said, you went back to the cold. Now we found the filling. I just think that if you keep at this, you're going to solve it and maybe not even know how you solved it.
Yeah, but I am keeping track, and I know the last, you know, 5 or 10 things that I've done. And
good.
So,
all right.
One other thing, just one quick headline. As of 2021, there were millions of dollars. They didn't give a number in unclaimed. Think about this. Year 2021. Since then, there are millions of unclaimed or uncashed tax return checks. Can you guess why? I think because they're all dead. I think because they died of the jab.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. That's
interesting. What I think, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I might have to do a little digging on that. That's an interesting line. All right, thanks for that one. Let's go to Ohio. Herschel, welcome.
Kevin, you almost caught me.
All right. Maybe next
you
time.
You almost caught me imitating Diesel gnawing on a pork chop bone.
That's totally acceptable here on this show.
Hey, I put in questions for the coaching call. I really hope I can make it tomorrow. I'm going to try to keep everything out of my hair. But when it comes to beef, cattle, whatever you want to call it, I know there is good, better, and best, for lack of what else to call it. The stuff you get at Kroger, the stuff you get from a farmer that's down the road, but he still uses grain to feed his cows, but they also walk around in his yard and eat grass. And then there's the best of the best, all grass, all the time, nothing else.
Right.
Dr. Barry says that eat the best meat you can afford, and you'll still get the benefit. I've heard you say it too. But my question is, when it comes to the beef, as we know, the total grass fed and finished, it costs way more. But how much better, as a consequence of eating those different grades of meat, when it comes to inflammation in the body and just anything?
So anybody that tells you they have a definitive answer to this is either fooling themselves or they're lying. I don't know. I've done some experimenting myself, but part of the problem with my experimentation is that when I'm traveling and I'm not controlling the quality of my meat as well, I'm also eating out at restaurants more in general. And I know I'm being exposed to other stuff in restaurant food. You know, and I'd like to say that before I eat anything in a restaurant, I go try to find all the ingredients on the internet. I don't. It's too much work. I'm going to end up – and I don't stray so far that I'm eating grains or anything else when I travel, but I know the quality of the food. There are several differences. But it's hard to separate that out. Was it the quality of the meat, or am I getting too many omega-6s? Am I getting really bad quality of salt? There's so many things that could go wrong when you start eating out. But I've also experimented eating at home and eating primarily meat from Costco. You know, I'll go to Costco and I'll buy the whole primal cuts. Like, I will buy the entire rib roast and cut my own ribeyes. And there are times where I will eat almost exclusively grocery store meat. And I can't tell a difference. I can't tell you that after 2 or 3 weeks of that I feel any different. I don't. So I don't know. And I think there's too many variables here, and I don't know that we could ever even – to try to do a test for this is so difficult. That's kind of why our advice has always been just buy the best meat you can afford. And if that happens to be, you know, you're doing a lot of shopping at Walmart, but you're still eating primarily carnivore, we know what the results are. People get significantly healthier.
Well, a friend of mine, he raises all kinds of stuff, cattle being one of them, and his next batch of cattle will be ready around December, he said. But what he does is he lets them eat what grass he does have, because he doesn't have near enough to be able to do all grass. He knows that. But he also throws them some hay, and, of course, he uses some grain. How much, I don't really know for sure. I didn't ask him.
I would much rather buy his beef than grocery store grass-fed, grass-finished. If those were my choices, I would buy his beef all the time.
So it would be better than the grocery store, but not quite the grass-fed, grass-finished, of course. But
and how much difference, I don't think we'll ever know. I just think there are too many variables for us to ever now. But here's what we do know. It's not going to a feedlot, and we know what goes on in feedlots. They feed beef fat to beef cattle like they're cannibals. That's awful. So I would much rather get my beef from the guy down the street who does feed him some grain. That wouldn't bother me nearly as much.
Yeah, I did buy some T-bone the other day. Kroger had them on sale. Of course, they're big in Ohio. You know that for, I think it was like $8.99 a pound, which today, sadly, $8.99 is a good deal.
That's a good price, right?
I throw them babies on the grill, and Kevin, them suckers, I've never eaten shoe leather, but it has to be pretty close to that T-bone. It was really tough. And it really didn't have a beef flavor much at all. It really didn't. And my God, what are they growing and selling nowadays?
Yeah, I can say this, that, like I said, I will occasionally buy a whole primal from Costco, cut my own ribeyes. That ribeye, when I cook it the way I do, will usually be in the top five of the best steaks I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
As far as flavor,
now you have to tell us how you cook it.
Incredible. Well, you know what? I'll give my secret, because this method of cooking works so well for so many different kinds of meat. Here's my go-to on how I cook. Certainly, steaks, chops. Yesterday I did some really clean brats like this. So now here's the first thing. The cuts have to be thick. So that's one of the reasons why I cut my own steaks. I'd like minimum now of 2-inch ribeyes, 3-inch or even better. Sometimes I'll cook 2-bone ribeyes, like a rib roast with 2 bones or 3 bones. I get double bone pork chops that are probably 3 inches thick. You don't want to use this method for thin cut steaks or chops, but I use this method for whole chickens, chicken thighs, chicken wings, good thick cut steaks, good thick cut pork chops. I did it with brats yesterday. What else do I do this with? Pork tenderloin. I have a Traeger, a pellet smoker. Any pellet smoker would work. Any smoker would work, but pellet smokers are just easy. So all I have to do is go out and hit the button, set my temperature at 400 degrees, which is pretty darn hot for a smoker. I'm really using it like an oven. But I will put the cut in as soon as I start the grill. And in the beginning, it smokes like crazy while it's trying to get up to temperature. So I get a lot of smoke on the meat early, and then I just leave it on at 400 degrees till it reaches the internal temperature I want. That's it.
Do you turn it over?
I don't even have to flip it, because it's baking in there. It's not really grilling. Like, I don't even have to put my bottom rack, I raise up so it's not too close to the heat source. And if I'm only doing a little bit of meat, I'll actually put it on the middle rack. So I'm roasting this, not grilling it.
Interesting.
And this method works so good for so many things.
Interesting. All right, Kevin, I'll leave you alone, and hopefully I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Here's the other trick to really improving your steaks. Have you ever heard of dry brining?
Is that where you put like a whole megaton of salt all over it?
One of the best things I've ever done to a steak. And I have let
so you
them
literally bury it in salt?
I don't bury it. I buy really big flake salt. And I give it a really good dose on both sides. And then I do rinse mine off when it's done brining. 24 hours is good. 48 hours is even better. And 72 hours, it almost starts to rival a dry aged steak. Not quite, but it's close.
Have you ever eaten flank?
I love flank. Yeah. I use flank for a lot.
I do too. I don't know how anybody else makes it. This is just the only thing I grew up having it this way. My step-grandpa, he was an absolute drunk, that's all he was, worthless, but he did know how to cook a flank. He just took regular, standard, yellow table mustard, and he put it on both sides, kind of rubbed it in, put a piece of cellophane on top of it for your young bunch. It's called saran wrap. Put that on it. And just throw it in the refrigerator and let it sit all day long with that in there and then throw it on the grill. Man, that's good.
Similar idea. And here's the interesting thing. You can put as much mustard as you want on almost any cut of meat that you're going to throw on a grill or even roast in an oven. And it will improve the meat and you will never know the mustard was there. It's kind of shocking. It doesn't change the flavor much. But it does do a nice job. It's similar to a dry brine. I'll tell you the one that I do this with, like leg of lamb. I will use a half a bottle of mustard on a leg of lamb, and then I also use that to hold my seasoning rub. So, all right, you're making me hungry. I got to move on.
If that half a bottle of mustard makes it so that it doesn't taste like wool when you eat it, that would be good.
It
I can't do lamb.
Like, well, lamb has that good wild game taste.
Ugh, I've tried it. I don't like it.
I love lamb. It's one of my favorites. All right, got to move along. Let's go to Ohio. Ashley, welcome. Do you have any recipes you want to share with us today, Ashley?
I don't have any recipes.
What do you got today?
Hi, Kevin. I am actually calling. My boyfriend is a avid listener to you. He's a truck driver. He's been a truck driver for over 18 years. He has been complaining to me, and I'm kind of tired of hearing it, to be honest with you. So I told him I was calling you today.
Okay.
He is complaining because he has been on keto. He has tried the carnivore diet. He has been taking supplements. He's been using an X3 bar, and he's still complaining that he cannot lose the weight in his stomach. So I was wondering if you had any tips or anything for him.
Let's go back through some of the history. So when did he change his way of eating? To keto or something like that?
Yeah, he's been eating like this for probably about 5 or 6 years.
Okay, so let's go back. Let's call it 6 years. Before he made the switch, how much did he weigh?
That I'm not sure of. We actually met after he was already on it.
Okay. And he's never said that he lost like 60 pounds or 30 pounds or 180 pounds.
He lost weight. He wanted to be down to, I believe it was 165. But he would just sit at like the 170 and he wouldn't be able to go down any further. He's 6 foot.
Come on.
And
wait, come on. We're talking 5 pounds.
That's what he was at. He's at 190 right now. And he cannot
so
get it off again.
Okay. So, but I got to ask, why and how and when did he gain the weight back? So he got down to 170 and 165 was the goal. We were only 5 pounds away. But now somehow he ended up at 190. What happened? What changed?
That I'm not sure of, although we started dating about 4 years ago, and then he noticed that he started gaining weight. We thought it was because we would have like a couple beers here and there, and then he ended up quit drinking. He quit drinking.
And I don't know why. I like it when I can explain why things happen, but sometimes I can't. And there seems to be this weird pattern when people go low carb, keto, carnivore, and they lose a bunch of weight and they fall off the wagon, started drinking beer again. Beer's one of the worst offenders because it's got multiple problems. It's a grain, it's high in carbs, and it's alcohol. All three of those things are really bad for being in ketosis. So
the pattern, and we quit doing that.
You fall off the wagon, you gain some of the weight back, you catch yourself and say, hey, what am I doing here? And you stop, but the weight doesn't come back off. And I don't know why not. But it's a very clear pattern that we've seen over and over. Now, occasionally, we can break through that pattern with we can find some digestive issues. Maybe some not digesting their fat well. Maybe they've got, you know, is he on any kind of medications, even over the counter?
No, just he was just doing the liver pills and the fish pills that you have on your website. Those were the only things he was taking, and the vitamin D, I believe.
So I heard, you know, he tried the X3 bar, maybe he tried some of the other stress protocols. Really where we are, I wish I had a better answer for you, but this is going to require more time and more digging. Now, I've helped a lot of people over this exact problem. This is really, really common. The solution isn't common. There are multiple things that could cause this, and there are multiple ways to kind of break through this. But I would need more detail from him, and I would need to work closer. This is what our coaching program is for. You know, when somebody calls me on the air the first time, even if he were here with me today, I may not be able to figure it out, but I'm already missing some answers. So it's even harder. But even if he were to call me on the air, we could certainly try it, and I could give him some ideas, and he could go try some things. If he really wants to kind of dig into it and solve it quickly, just 1 month in the coaching program would do it.
Okay. Well, he's probably listening to this, so he probably already knows what you said.
and we might, you know, the difference is the more detail I can get, then maybe I start to think, okay, well, maybe some other food kind of snuck in here. We're getting a food reaction, so we might end up doing, you know, a food sensitivity test or a gut barrier test. Or it just when somebody's in this place, we can fix it. We always do, but it usually requires a little more digging and a little more time.
Yeah, we even tried to, because of him being a truck driver, you know, you have to eat fast to be able to get back on the road. We even tried getting him to slow down on eating so his stomach has time to digest.
Right. All those things are good things to try. And that's usually how we end up solving this. We just start troubleshooting kind of the same way I troubleshoot a truck. You know, in my mind or sometimes even on paper, I'll create a troubleshooting tree. This is the most likely problem. Let's check this. Well, that didn't really help, or maybe it helped a little bit, but then we also have this, so let's go try this. I mean, that's usually what this comes down to.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Iowa. Jesse, welcome.
Hi, Kevin. Going back to the guy that talking about the beef, from what I understand with between the grass-fed and the corn-fed, if you got the guy down the street, got the corn-fed beef, from what I've been told, that corn-fed's going to give you better marbling and more fat in it, so it's not really that big of a deal.
Well,
so if you're looking for more of a fatty meat, you might want the corn-fed?
Well, we also... And again, like I said, I would much rather see him go down the street and buy from, you know, a local farmer. Not
as long as it's locally.
We feed cows corn to make them fat. That's the whole point. We want them to get fat. We want them to put on body weight because that's how we make money. But fatty beef. It's the texture's better, the flavor's better. But we also do have to realize that the fatty acids we created by feeding that cow corn are omega-6. And if we would have allowed them to eat just grass, then you would have developed more omega-3. And that's the difference.
Gotcha.
Omega-6 is inflammatory. Omega-3 is anti-inflammatory. But there's something else we've learned over time, that I have had some grass-fed beef that is almost inedible. Like, there's just no fat at all. And you can even add butter and all kinds of things, and it's just not the same. But what we have learned, and I don't know a lot about this, I'm only going by what I read, but it makes some sense. If you keep a cow on really fast-growing green grass, and that's all they're eating, they will tend to be very, very lean. If you allow them to eat older, drier grasses, I guess when a grass starts to dry out and gets older, it develops more carbohydrates. Not a ton, but enough that you start to lose some of that really gamey taste that people don't like, and you do get more marbling. Not as much as you would get on corn or other grains, but more so. So how you raise that grass-fed cow and what they're being finished on can make a difference.
Yeah. Okay. So on to my original question. A couple months ago, a doctor told the wife that she was pre-diabetic. I'd called you about it back then. In the meantime, we got her on the CGM, and the doctor wanted her to be on metformin and gave her a prescription. She said, no, I'm not taking that. We put her on the CGM, and her numbers run, ever since we got it, anywhere from 80 to, I don't know, 120 pretty normally, as long as she doesn't eat anything she shouldn't.
Okay.
When she sleeps, she'll dip down to 50 at times.
Okay.
And then every once in a while, she'll get a wild hair up her ass and eat something she shouldn't. And like a month ago, she drank a soda pop, and it shot up to like 160-something. Came down pretty fast. That's one of my questions is that considered diabetic or insulin resistant or whatever with the timing of it coming down. Now, yesterday, she went out to eat with somebody, and she decided she was going to have a Dr. Pepper, and it only shot up to like 130 and gradually came down.
So there are lots of variables here, and these are the kind of things we learn when we wear the CGM. If she drank that Dr. Pepper, you said she went out to eat with somebody. If she drank that along with a pretty good size meal, and the more protein and fat that were in that meal, that will tame that spike, because all of the fat and the protein slow down digestion, so that sugar is being released into the bloodstream slower. So you're still getting the same amount of sugar. You're just getting it slowly introduced into the bloodstream, and you don't get the big spike and the big drop. My guess is when she had the spike, she drank a soda without a lot of food. That gave her a quick, short shot of sugar, and then it came back down. So without using a bunch of labels, she's diabetic, pre-diabetic, insulin resistant, here's what we know. She has lost control of her blood sugar. We shouldn't see a jump up to 160. We shouldn't see a drop at night to 50. Those are abnormal readings. So without putting labels on, the longer she continues to eat low carb like she does most of the time, the better this will get. I do believe that there are people that are still seeing improvements after 7 and 8 years.
Yeah, because after talking to you, I finally got her to at least cut out all the sugars, breads, you know, every once in a while she slips and has something, you know, whatever, we all do it.
Right.
But she's lost 30 pounds, feels better, excellent, everything.
Just tell her to keep doing what she's doing. Don't worry about the slips now and then. Over time, I think the more we see the results of those slips, the less often we do them. I think she's showing a good pattern. She's lost weight. She's feeling better. She falls off the wagon once in a while, dropping into the 50s once or twice overnight. Like I said, it tells us that she's still insulin resistant, but it's getting better, and the longer she does this, the better it's going to get.
Okay. Now, another question I got for you. Yesterday, she was starting to feel ill. This morning, she woke up feeling horrible. Temperature of 101. She scanned her CGM, and it showed that overnight, which this is completely abnormal, like at 12:30 at night, it shot clear up to like 141.
I could have predicted that.
Excuse me?
So I could have predicted that. I knew what was coming before you told me what was coming. And this is a completely normal response. I'm not sure if you heard me talk about when I was working on the stress protocol, how I was able to raise blood sugar. I think once I actually raised it between 30 and 40 points with no food involved at all. All I did was stress my body. I did the infrared sauna for longer than normal. I got right out of the infrared sauna and did the X3 bar. I got right out of the X3 bar and jumped into a 4-minute cold shower. My blood sugar went up almost 40 points, and I hadn't eaten anything. I was still fasting from overnight. It's the stress
that
can be
completely normal from being sick.
The fever.
Even for a healthy person.
Correct. Yeah, this is the response we would absolutely expect to see. Here's what we have to remember. All stress is really the fight or flight response in our body. That's what stress is. The body recognizes a situation that's dangerous, and it tries to avoid it. Now, when it is a true fight or flight moment, the body dumps a bunch of sugar into the bloodstream for quick energy. That's the biggest reason we see a big spike in blood sugar when we're stressed.
Okay.
So completely normal.
Okay. I just wanted to kind of touch on that. So.
Yep. No, she's on the right track. I would just have her keep doing what she's doing.
All right. Yep. That's kind of the plan. Like I said, she'd been going to the gym for like a year before this, and she's like, I'm not losing any weight, da-da-da. Then the doctor told her this, and I'm like, well, you're going to the gym, but that doesn't do you any good if you're not eating right. And so she finally decided she's going to eat right, and lo and behold, I was right.
Well, right, and the crazy thing is, and it's not like I want to discourage people. I am starting to discourage people from going to the gym. Go find a good outdoor activity that you really enjoy doing. Nobody enjoys going to the gym. And I used to be a gym rat. I used to own a gym, but
she loves it though.
Yeah. Well, then she should keep doing it, but don't equate it to weight loss. She found out it does not work. It's good for our health. It's not good for weight loss. It's really not.
Yeah. And that's what I told her. I was like, well, there's a reason why, because you go to the gym and work out for an hour and a half and whatnot. And then you'll turn around and get a soda and you're doing
more soda, and you'll eat more food than if you didn't go to the gym in the first place. So it's really good for our health, but first off, exercise is not necessary for weight loss. We can lose weight sitting on the couch all day. Let's go to Nebraska. Tom, welcome.
Yeah, hey, Kevin, can you hear me?
I can. What's on your mind today?
I didn't get the beep. So we're turning our cows into cannibals. You know, Uncle Posey got ate by a cannibal.
That's right.
You know, did you see that interview with that dude? I think it's with Papua New Guinea or wherever he supposedly got shut down or whatever. And so it really pissed those people off. They entered one dude, and he goes, "Nah, we didn't need him. We don't just need anybody." That was hilarious. Ashley called about her boyfriend that gained weight after he met her, 25 pounds or something. He can't get off. What about a cold plunge?
Cold plunge sounds really good.
That hard fat, that brown fat.
Yeah, there's lots of things we can do. The problem is not only is it hard on just a call on the radio show, but now I'm trying to deal with the third person.
It was just an idea that popped in my head.
All of those things could be possible. It could be stress, could be digestion, could be that he's eating some food that he's not really paying attention to. This is one of those calls that I have so much more success on the coaching call.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. The reason I called is there's a real cool free app, and I don't know if you have it yet, called D-Minder, M-I-N-D-E-R, and it you put in the zip code where you're at or just the tracking, it'll have it track you, and it tells you down to the minute when the best time is to go outside. You don't get vitamin D from the sun just because you're in the sun if it's not above like 33% horizon or something. I just found this out.
So,
just because you're in the sun doesn't mean you're getting vitamin D.
That's correct. So our best time is what's called solar noon, which is when the sun is most directly overhead wherever you live. That's why you have to have an app or you go look this up. Solar noon doesn't occur at noon. That's why we call it solar noon. I think most of the time in the summer here when I check it, solar noon usually is between like 1 and 1:30 in the afternoon.
It's on that app too. They have the solar noon, and then it tells you.
Yeah.
I think it's by hour. It tells you how many IUs you're going to get if you're in the sun
out there.
And it's probably naked. You know, like four IUs an hour or whatever is where I am now. But I'm in the truck, so I'm not getting anything except what I take.
Interesting. I have a device like that for my plants. That tells me how much and the strength of the sunlight they're getting.
Oh, that's cool. You do it for your plants, but you don't do it for you.
I don't do it for myself. Right. I went and got the app for my plants. Now I'm not sure that I need the app because now I am just of the mindset that if I'm outside in the sun shining, I don't care what time of day it is, I'm taking clothes off.
Oh, yeah. No, if it was my neighbors wouldn't like me at all.
I don't really have to worry about burning anymore like I used to.
Oh, right. And do you think that's due to the vitamin D in your system?
No.
No,
we know what it is.
What is it?
When you eliminate seed oils, this is what happens. It's the seed oils that cause people to be overly sensitive to sunburns.
Wow.
I have talked to or heard from hundreds of people who had the exact same experience. Eliminate seed oils and their sunburn issues almost completely disappear. Now, I could go out and get a sunburn. I'm positive of it. But it's nothing like it used to be. Like I say, I used to have to time myself in the sun, and I would never just like randomly take my shirt off while I was working. Because I would forget about it, and then by the time I felt it, it would be too late. So I'm really paranoid about that. But now, it was only like 62 degrees yesterday. I was out at the farm working a little bit. But it felt nice and warm, and there's no wind out there. My shirt comes off now, and I don't even think about it.
Nice. Isn't that wonderful? Not having to worry about a sunburn. I mean, I'm as pale as they get, you know, half Irish and half Scottish.
Right.
And when I was a kid, it was horrible. Just horrible.
Same here.
Literally 10 minutes in the sun and my shoulders would be just roasty red.
Yes.
No, I used to blister.
Yeah, me too. I've been through those, you know, whole body peeling. I've been through all of that. And it's so bad that you get to the point finally where you say, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I would either stay completely covered up, or I would use the 50 sunblock, which now I understand how bad that was. And it really is, I know I get excited about this, but it's pretty amazing for me that after 50 some years of wanting to be in the sun, but not being able to without.
God, you know, isn't it just a shame that we just can't turn with what we know now, turn the clock back and start it all over again. You know, it just makes you sad, but you know, how wonderful our, you know, and wonder how long we could actually live. And, you know, this, speaking of that now, somebody was talking about vaccinations again earlier, and I don't know, you know, you didn't read the first JFK Jr. books, or you won't read the second one, or
RFK. You're going to bug me until I read those books, aren't you?
Well, it's just, you know, I mean, I used to be worried about the Chinese, and I was worried about the Russians sending a bomb over there, that's how we're going to die. You know how we're going to die is a stupid gain of function that Fauci was doing. And the things that he was doing that I'm just becoming aware of now is absolutely, it's just insanity. And then Biden just signed a executive order to give the CDC or whoever, one of those government programs, another $88 billion, you know, to basically do the gain of function, which is supposed to be illegal. Fauci just did it anyway. But, you know, I mean, like Lyme disease, you know where Lyme disease came from? Came from the lab, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just, and there's just so many stupid things. They're gonna kill us, and what there's just absolutely no what good can come of it.
No,
by the time
I agree.
Yeah, it's just crazy. All right, D-minder for everybody, good luck to you. You know, like that Lysol 99.9% kills 99. What's the that other 0.1% that Fauci is trying to make to kill the rest of us. So good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Kevin.
All right, thanks for the call. Let's continue on. We are going to head off to Missouri this time. Colton, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how are you doing?
Good. What's on your mind today?
Hey, so I spoke with you about 6 months ago or so now about gallbladder. I was having gallstones.
Yeah.
And I took the apple cider vinegar and Bile salt and all that stuff and went about 4 months without having any issues. And then come last month, I ended up going to the ER because it hurt so bad. And come to find out, I went ahead and had it removed. And when he pulled the gallbladder out and showed it to me, there were gallstones in there the size from the front of my last knuckle of my thumb to the tip of my thumb.
Yikes.
They were massive. Yeah.
So I would also say you may find that you suffer other effects of high oxalates in the diet.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to go listen to the mini-series we did with Sally Norton. It's on the app. We did a whole a three-part mini-series on oxalates and all the problems they can cause.
Okay.
You had, obviously, an oxalate overload and an imbalance of other minerals in order for that many and that big of stones to form.
Right. Okay. And my reason for calling today, honestly, was, you know, kind of what do I do next? You know, I was wanting to go towards a carnivore diet and stuff, but, you know,
absolutely.
I'm still recovering from surgery. It's only been 4 weeks since then.
The sooner you move towards any cleaner diet, the better you're going to feel. Now, it doesn't have to mean you go, you know, really strict carnivore right off the bat. Lots of people would prefer to ease in. The way I would recommend you ease in is I would eliminate grains first and whatever time period makes sense to you. Maybe you eliminate grains for a month if you choose, or maybe it's a week, or after grains, then I would eliminate seed oils. and seed oils are just about every liquid oil you find, with a couple exceptions, olive oil and avocado oil.
Okay.
Then the solid fat, coconut oil, those are the three plant fats you could have. Olive, okay. Avocado, coconut. Everything else is basically a seed oil. Canola, soybean, cottonseed, corn oil, vegetable oil, all those. Eliminate all of those would be my second step.
Okay.
Then, and again, pick the times that make sense to you. After I got rid of grains and seed oils, I would cut way, way back on added sugar. Any product with added sugar, I would eliminate those. So that's one way to kind of step your way into and ultimately working towards a more high-fat carnivore diet. Now, okay. You are going to have to manage the fat part of this by using bile salts. You should okay. take bile salts for the rest of your life.
Okay.
And it's so, the bile salt that is kind of replacing the function of what the gallbladder used to do.
Right. What could I do now to help regulate my bowel movements? Because as soon as that thing was gone, it's not been pretty.
Yeah, so here's what's happening. The gallbladder used to deliver the bile when we needed it. And bile is there to break up and start dissolving fat so we can digest it. Once your gallbladder is gone, your liver still produces the bile, but now it's dripping into your intestine all day long. And what it usually causes is a lot of diarrhea. You've got a lot of bile, but nothing for it to work on. There's no science behind this, but I've had it help some people, and it goes against some of the advice you hear me talk about. You know, we talk about that whole idea that you should eat, you know, snacks here and there or six meals a day. That's all bunk. I mean, if you want to be healthy, one meal a day actually works really well. But I have found when somebody loses their gallbladder and they're going through a lot of digestive distress, a lot of times they'll go back and forth between bouts of diarrhea and constipation. Other people will have diarrhea almost all the time. One of the things mm-hmm. you can try is eating small amounts of fat throughout the day. A small handful of nuts, a couple tablespoons of nut butter. Butter itself. I've been known to just eat a big old glob of butter if I'm hungry. What we're doing is we're giving that bile that's dripping into your intestine all day long, we're giving it something to work on.
All right. Yeah,
and again,
I kind of know something like that too.
Science behind this. It's just, I don't even remember if I read this anywhere, if I came up with it myself. Not sure, but sometimes it works.
Okay. Yeah, I did kind of notice that when I got some sunflower seeds the other day, and I snacked on them all day, and I didn't actually have any issues that day, but the next day and the day after.
Yeah. That may be the trick, is that you kind of space out some small, high-fat snacks throughout the day, and then when you do eat a big meal with a lot of fat, make sure you take the bile salt.
Okay. All righty. I think that's all I needed for today. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Ohio. Cleveland specifically. Mark, welcome.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
I did your gut barrier test, and I tested positive for Candida and LPS.
Common.
And I'm wondering,
okay.
Where do I go from here?
I would have to see the levels and the testing. Are you having symptoms? What was the reason for doing the gut barrier test? Is there a problem we're trying to solve?
Well, I've had achy legs for a couple of years. Well, sometimes almost like a hamstring, like I'm pulling a hamstring by doing nothing. But generally, if I'm just sitting around in my butt and my legs, it just, there's an ache. And so I kind of thought something isn't right. I quit eating bread 4 years ago, maybe, and the legs got better, but it's still
so
there.
It's a muscle ache, not a joint ache. Is that correct?
Yes.
You're not on a statin, are you?
No, nothing. I don't take any prescription drugs or...
Okay. Statins are known to cause muscle pain. So then what I would recommend, and this is almost across the board, when we have to get down to doing this kind of testing to try to figure out what's going on, it's also going to require me more time to be able to see the test, think about the test, see some history. So this is one of those things I do recommend the coaching program for.
Okay.
Now I could give you some basic, you know, ideas on where we could go. Are you consuming any kind of coconut oil?
Yes, quite a bit, actually. I put it in my coffee.
Okay. We may have to go with some sort of stronger, something maybe like an oil of oregano, maybe some protocols with Manuka honey. So this is where I could throw some things out. You could try, you know, an oil of oregano supplement. We have one in the store. You'd try some Manuka honey. Are you eating a lot of fermented food?
Not a lot. I made some sauerkraut at home that I have when I'm at home.
More fermented products. So you could try this on your own and see what happens. And if the symptoms go away, then we know that's a good result. If not, then you have to decide, well, do I retest to see if we made any improvements, or should I try something else? This is where we could certainly try it here on the radio show, but that's what I would start with. Add some fermented foods. You could add like a kombucha every day and maybe a quarter of a cup of fermented vegetable, but it should be daily.
Okay. They don't, when I got the test results back, they don't give me any numbers. You know, all they gave me was that little chart that had positive of the two and negative the other two. So do they have the numbers and I just didn't get them?
Not necessarily. I mean, we can dig a little deeper, but the fact that we know they're there and they're there in amounts we don't expect to see. So we do need to make some changes and some adjustments.
All right. Well, I'll let you know how things progress.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Let's go to Minnesota. Mick, welcome.
Kevin, how's it going today?
Good.
So I got a weird one for you. I wanted to know, remembering you had the nurse, the lady that was the nurse, and she did the dental stuff.
Yes, Trina.
Trina
was supposed to be on the show today, but something came up.
Of course she was.
Yeah.
So I've got a weird deal. I've got a tooth that, this has been over a year ago, I was doing something I guess you shouldn't do, but I was eating pistachios and cracking them with my teeth, the nut.
Okay.
And anyway, it snapped down and I heard a kind of a pop in my mouth. And turned out I kind of fractured one of my back molars, and it's got a filling in it. And I've never done anything with it. It really doesn't hurt. It's a little sensitive to cold, but when I got my teeth cleaned the last time, of course, the dentist, she wants to put a crown on it. And
okay.
I know that root canals are like a big problem, but are crowns. And if it's not bothering me, is it a problem anyway?
You know, this is one of those areas where I would want you to get a second opinion from a biologic dentist.
All right.
I would do everything I could to avoid a root canal, and I feel pretty fortunate that at 60, almost, well, I'll be 61 in a couple weeks, maybe less than a week, I have no root canals. So I'm pretty happy about that, but I probably have, I think I have four crowns. I don't know that there's any big downside to a crown. Now, obviously, I'm now of the mind that the less work I have of any kind, probably the better off I am. But if we've got a tooth that should be crowned, I'd like to have a good dentist look at that because I really don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I know it's a little in the weeds. Doing what we do, you know, it requires probably taking a whole week off of work, you know, essentially, because of to get an appointment. And then I'm just like, well, I've just been delaying it. And then I'm like, well, if that filling is loose in there, could I be getting like an infection under it somehow, you know, or rotting the root?
That's my concern, is that this becomes, instead of something we can fix with a crown, it becomes something that would require a root canal or would cause an infection that can affect the rest of our body. So I would certainly try to see if I could find a biological dentist.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'll check into that a little bit. And so that gives me my next step. I'll go from there. I just wanted to get your opinion because it's easier to get a hold of you to be honest.
Well, it's good. I mean, and I don't mind answering questions like this, but when there was enough of a problem that the dentist saw it, and that's what happened, right? The dentist, while you were, or the
well,
dentist,
he, you know, they always ask, you know, is anything? I'm like, well, this tooth is a little sensitive to cold, and I explained what happened, and then she said, well, you can't, it won't show up on x-rays, but there's like microfractures, and I'm so leery anymore. I guess I've been in business too long, but, you know, everything's fear porn, you know. And so she's like, well, if you don't deal with it, then you're going to crack it, and then we won't be able to fix it. And
And this is why I'd like to get a good biological dentist, because I start to have the same thoughts you're having. Are they being overly cautious? Are they just trying to get one more procedure? I get paranoid about that kind of stuff too.
Yeah. I've just become so cynical about everything within the system anymore, you know?
I was just talking to Lisa about this yesterday. My entire approach to this now is the only time I'm going to a doctor or a medical facility is if I believe there is some danger that I'm going to die. Everything else, I'm pretty sure I'm just going to deal with myself.
Yeah, that's – all right. Well, I'll try to do a little more research. I'll see if I can maybe find somebody like that. Maybe just get a consult and get a
just somebody to look at it that isn't, you know, that is at least a little different than the norm.
Sure. Okay. I will check into that. My next question, if you got time, I've been eating, you know, I've been following you for quite a while now, and I'm actually even supposed to be in the coaching thing, but life happened. That's a horrible time of the day for me with my work. And I just, you know, I know excuses, but I just,
now you can always go back and watch the replays too.
Yeah, no, I know. And I've done, and I was even like the tooth question. I'm like, do I want to type all that out? And I didn't know if I could do it, you know, to give it justice to us.
Right. I get it.
But anyway, so I kind of struggle with just, when I get home on the weekend, I got a pretty, I think it's a fairly tough schedule as far as just a lot of physical work as far as up and down on the trailer. It's an LTL kind of a thing. And the end of the day, you know, it's usually a 14-plus hour day, and then paperwork and blah, blah, blah. But I just, when I get home for the weekend, I'm just exhausted. And I'm not sure if I have a problem or not. Maybe I'm just tired, but I'm wondering if I'm the other thing. I'm a pretty skinny guy. I'm 5'11" and run between around 160 plus or minus for weight. And so I'm just like, am I not getting enough fat to convert to energy, or am I expecting more than I should? You always hear these guys talk about, oh, the energy, and I can force myself through most anything, but
how old are you?
I'm 52.
Have you ever checked your HRV?
I don't think so, no.
My guess is your HRV is going to be low.
Okay.
Now, I will also say this. At the end of a week of 14-hour days,
mm-hmm.
your body probably needs some recovery time.
Sure.
So let's just remember that, you know, we can make improvements in this, but at 52, putting in 5, 12 to 14-hour days is pretty impressive. And I do know how much work that can be. LTL is my
sure.
favorite kind of work. I love that kind of stuff because it's so active.
Oh, I love it, yeah.
I like it. Yeah, I like it because it is so active. Here's what we could do to improve this. I don't think there's anything wrong with you. You could try more fat. Do you use Brain Octane at all?
I use coconut oil, and occasionally I'll pick up a bottle of Brain Octane, but normally it's just coconut oil and butter. I don't notice a big difference one way or the other.
More fat throughout the day, and the reason I mentioned Brain Octane, or now Mind Fuel, our new product, it converts to ketones quickly. So even
sure.
later in the day, you might want to do something, and not necessarily with caffeine, but maybe
okay.
do a decaf with. You know, I'm not looking for caffeine as the energy source, but,
yep,
you know,
okay.
since you're already used to putting it in coffee, maybe, and I do this, I just did this yesterday, it's pretty common for me to have a decaf later in the day that I throw some butter and coconut oil in, especially if I'm
okay.
going to be working out on the farm a lot. You could try that. Here, if you wanted to improve this, here is how we would do it. You would get a device that measures HRV, like an Oura Ring or the Garmin watch. The Garmin watch is what I prefer. I've tried both.
Okay.
And then we would start working to improve your HRV. And the way
okay.
we would do it is the Garmin watch monitors HRV and something we call body battery, which is kind of a measure of how much energy you have left.
Yep.
So,
okay, yep. I remember you talking about that before.
Yeah. So what we have to do to get our HRV to come up is whenever we have excess energy, we use it in very specific ways, like the X3 bar workout, or, you know, mm-hmm. a section in the infrared sauna, or some cold exposure. And what we're doing is strengthening your body's stress muscle and stress response, because that's what
okay.
happens when you start running out of energy. Your body is just, you know, you just kind of pushed it to your current limit. Here's another
okay.
analogy. If you could currently bench press, I'm just going to pick numbers, 150 pounds 10 times, but that's it. But if you do 150 pounds 10 times today, and then you wait 2 days or so and your body's recovered and you do it again, then pretty soon you'd actually be able to do it 11 times, wouldn't you?
Okay, sure, yep.
It's the same thing. But what can happen And this happens to a lot of people because our world is so stressful, our jobs are so stressful, life is stressful, is that we try to work out when we're already too tired and we don't have
okay,
the energy.
Yeah.
And we say, well, you know, no pain, no gain, I'm just going to push through. I've actually watched people go backwards. The more they work out, the less healthy they become.
Right. Well, that's kind of my fear. You know, I'm just like,
it is a fear. Here's the other thing we find. When somebody's in that mode, and we can, you know, sometimes we refer to it as wired and tired. So you're kind of wired all the time, and sometimes people have a hard time falling asleep like this, so they're not sleeping good. They're tired all the time, but yet they still can't sleep. That's when somebody's gone too far, and it makes it harder to get out of that. Then what I've seen happen is if you take somebody in that position and they have a serious life event, a divorce, a death in the family, an illness, an accident, it can push them right over the edge, and this is when they start getting sick, and we can really have a hard time getting somebody out of that. But the way we kind of improve this, I have found that if we can monitor the HRV and the energy levels and do these specific things when we have the energy available, then we can actually start to strengthen, and that HRV will come up and you'll feel the difference. Here's another good example for me. In the wintertime, I don't get a lot of activity. The weather's not good around here. It's, you know, I probably should get out and do more, but I usually end up just spending a lot of time reading, writing, researching, a lot of screen time. When I go out like yesterday to work at the farm, 4 hours, and I am just dragging. By the end of 4 hours, I mean, it is all I can do to walk, you know, another 50 yards to go get something. Within a month of managing my HRV, and like the other day, I really wanted to go out and work on the farm. There's so much for me to do out there. But my HRV was low. My body battery was like 12. And I thought it would be stupid for me to go out there and try right now. I'm just going to set myself back. But if I manage that and skip that day, and then yesterday I did some light activity for about 2 or 3 hours and started to feel pretty tired. If I manage that, within a month, I'll be able to go out, work 12 or 14 hours, never get tired.
Okay. I'll have to invest in one of those devices then and see if I can kind of start trying to manage that.
I've tried to do it without it, and there are days where I think, oh, maybe I shouldn't work out today, and then I go do it, and I realize, oh, I really shouldn't have. When I can see those numbers, it really works.
Okay. One thing along that line, maybe this might change your answer a little bit or whatever I'm thinking as we're going here. Now, when I'm in the truck, I sleep. It's usually probably only time I get done with paperwork. A lot of times it's only 5 or 6 hours. But I'll sleep great in the truck. But then when I'm home, what I used to do when I was younger is I would sleep, you know, 8-10 hours sometimes. But now it seems like if I sleep more than about 6 hours, I'll wake up with just a horrible headache when I'm home. It doesn't seem to happen in the truck. But
interesting.
Yeah, and is napping bad? I mean, like sometimes in the middle of the day on a Saturday or whatever, I'll go out and grease the truck or, you know, that kind of thing and maybe wash. And then I don't do it because there's always more to do, but maybe I should be try to take a nap in between to help build that battery.
I would try it. Yes, I would try that. So for me, I do nap. And there are days where it's not even an option. I had one of these days the other day. My body was going to fall asleep one way or another. So I just decided, when I take a nap, most of the time, I get undressed and go back to bed. I try not to nap in my clothes or on a couch or
Right. Okay. Yeah.
It only takes 2 minutes more, you know, to go take your clothes off and get into a bed and get comfortable. And I might do that just for a 20-minute nap.
Yeah.
So I do think there are times when napping can help. I think you should experiment with it. Sometimes if I'm really tired, like if I feel like I'm going to lay down and the nap is going to be 3 hours, I will sometimes set an alarm for an hour and force myself to get back up because the 3 hour nap will interfere with my sleep cycle too much.
The next day. Yeah. Okay.
It feels good. Feels really good. And it feels miserable to set an alarm and get up after an hour. But I have found that 15 or 20 minutes after I wake up, I feel fine. So I just got to push through that. But I have found that 2 and 3 hour naps are not good for me.
Okay.
So I would just
play around with that. Maybe buy one of those devices. We have been through a lot lately. I had several things that my dad passed away. Yep. My brother passed away, and then
pattern I have seen over and over and over. And it's people who work a lot. You know, we work and. I don't know how not to work. No matter what, if I'm not doing this work, I'll be doing something around the house or something out in the garden, or I'll want to go to the farm and do something out there. That's just how I am. And a lot of times we can work ourselves to a point where it's not healthy for us. And then if we have something like those life event occurs, I've just seen this put people down in a hole that's kind of hard to dig out of. So I'm glad you're addressing this now. I don't think you're in a hole that you're going to have a hard time getting out of, but I think you should work on it.
Okay. I'll do that. So, all right. That's all I got for now. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go to, and I'm just about out of calls. We're at the second hour. I will hang out if you want to jump in and join us. 319-527-6791, or hit that call now button on your app. Let's go to Kansas this time. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Kevin. How are you doing today?
Doing good. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a buddy, several buddies now that have gotten involved with stem cells, and the first ones were for knees, and they were injecting them, and none of them worked. But there's another product called LifeWave X39 stem cells that is in a patch that's time release. And all those guys are saying it's just incredible. It helps with their inflammation. It helps with kind of making them feel better in general. And the approach is their claim is that it will seek, our body makes our own stem cells. Whatever our body is working on stem cells for, whether it's our kidney or our elbow or whatever, it will go there first. And assist that. And I've read LifeWave stuff, and of course it sounds great, but I was curious about your opinion if you've studied those.
I have not studied LifeWave itself. I have studied the whole stem cell, and the results are kind of all over the board. So this one is confusing. There are people that report incredible results. And then people that
my friends,
report no results. And then is it different types of therapy? Is it work?
It's lightweight.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, when we see different results, is it because of different therapies? Is there a better therapy? Like, is this LifeWave a better therapy? And I don't know the answer to that question. I haven't found a lot of consistent results yet. I've just found results kind of all over the board.
Well, like I said, my buddies have had the injected stem cells with zero success, several different guys, and a lot of expense. And these, they're $150 a month. But, I mean, my mom's 85. She had stage 4 cancer. She's pedaling her bike and running around like she's 50.
Now,
I could just give you like 8 or 9 examples, not just old people, but my sister had severe knee injury. She's a,
I'm looking at LifeWave now, and I was confused, so I want to make sure I'm understanding this right. So LifeWave is not stem cell therapy.
Well, this X39 is, they claim it to be, it's light activated, but it's supposed to use light to activate your stem cell.
Correct. But this is not much different than what I've been recommending, because the light therapy is infrared, which I've been recommending for years.
So
this
is similar
not
to that.
Stem cell therapy. Let's be clear about this. What we're attempting to do with LifeWave, we're attempting to get our body to produce its own stem cells. We're not taking stem cells and injecting them. So this is not stem cell therapy.
Okay. Well, they refer to it in their literature. They refer to stem cells in the literature.
Which to me is slightly misleading. They're trying to take advantage of all the research that has been done on true stem cell therapy and then correlate it to their product, but they have no studies that prove any of this. Now, I do know that infrared light is good for us. I mean, that's why I've recommended this. But this, to me, for what you're getting, seems kind of expensive. I mean, here's what this is. The product, the patch, is amino acids. I mean, they're using glycine and glutamine. Okay, nothing all that special there. Water. LifeWave's patches are activated by water. Okay, great. Infrared light. LifeWave patches emit infrared light. The problem I have with that is it can't be very powerful, because we need lots of energy to produce true infrared light. Our best source of infrared light is the sun. Does the sun contain a lot of energy?
I would think so.
Yes. When I use infrared lights, they pull quite a bit of power. And the power matters. A million miles away from the sun, and it's powerful enough that I get infrared light. Of my light, I have to be within 6 inches of the light. If the light isn't very powerful, you have to get closer and closer to it to get the same benefit. Now, here's a patch that there's no electricity involved here. How is it producing infrared light? And whatever it's producing can't be very powerful. So what we've got is the more I read about this, the less impressed I am. What we have are a couple amino acids, which we could supplement ourselves if we wanted, water, some sort of weak infrared light that I'm not even sure how they're really producing, and some LifeWave patches contain copper. We have a copper supplement in our store. I believe in copper. But what they're doing is they're putting this stuff together in a patch, and it's pretty damn expensive.
They are.
Now, here's what I would say. You have friends that said they tried true stem cell therapy and didn't see any results. They tried this product and got results. I'm all about results. Yeah. I can look at this and go, I don't think it's going to work. But if people get results, I'd like to know that. So maybe you should try it.
Yeah, well, we're going to try it. The family bought me some just as a gift, and I don't want to bring down their parade, whether it's a placebo or whether it really helped them, you know. But I totally trust the way you study things. I haven't been able to study it to my own satisfaction, so that's why I called you. And at the offset, to me, it just seems like a bunch of baloney. Just the whole concept of I can put this patch on, I feel like a Superman.
Correct.
I don't believe in that kind of stuff.
The more I dig into again, I'm open and I will read, I will research, but the more I research on this, the more I'm just not getting it. I mean, like I said, a couple amino acids, water, copper, and some infrared light. And it's got to be weak infrared light. Why wouldn't I just get more sunlight or use a good targeted infrared light therapy? I just can't see that this produce all the benefits that they're talking about are benefits of infrared light. I get that, but a patch? That just doesn't make any sense to me, and there's just not much in this patch that I'm impressed with.
Are omega-3s amino acids?
No, those are fatty acids.
Fatty acids, okay.
Yeah, omega-6, omega-3, omega-9, those are fatty acids. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. So when we eat meat, we get all of the amino acids.
Okay. Sounds good. One last quick thing, Kevin, if I can, is we lost a daughter, and so we just kind of quit living for a while. And so for 6 months, I just haven't cared about anything. And have just eaten whatever trash is next to me. My wife and I have always been keto and probably veggie heavy keto. We have huge gardens like you do, but I'm done with that and I'm trying to get my act together again. And so I started 2 weeks ago on carnivore, which I'm all about carnivore. Not only do I believe in the concepts, I love seafood and meat. And so and we raise our own chickens and stuff, but I've done it for 2 weeks and I've only lost 5 pounds. Am I doing? Is there something else that's affecting this? I need to lose about 30 pounds.
No.
That's what happened. I gained 30 pounds in that 6 months.
Yeah, I would just keep doing what you're doing for right now. Sometimes when, and I talked about this earlier, when we fall off the wagon and we go back, and I wish I could explain it. I've tried to read everything I could find. Nothing makes sense, but it's a pretty clear pattern. Many times when we go back, we don't get the immediate results again. I tell people, stick with it, though, for at least a month, maybe
all
two.
Right.
And here's the other thing I ask them, and I think I already know the answer to this. Are you getting other benefits of eating this way?
Absolutely, man. My energy's through the roof again, like it always was. I want to do my ambition is back. Everything. Because I need to get this fat off me.
Yeah, so stick with
like
it because you're seeing the benefits. We're just not seeing the weight loss. Give it up to 60 days. If you still don't see the weight loss after that amount of time, then maybe a month of the coaching and we'll dig in and we'll figure it out.
Okay, Kevin, sounds good. Hey, I just have to thank you because you've helped my wife and I. You know, knowledge is so powerful and we don't have time to seek it and sort it like you do. And so I just want you to know how amazing the information is that you distill and give to us. It's just priceless. And I just want to thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. I appreciate the feedback. Have a great day. All right, let's go to Illinois. Scott, welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind today?
Good. Hey, well, I've had kidney stones in the last about once a year for the last 3 years. And I'm carnivore-ish. I've been listening to you for several years. And, I might be eating a few things, but I've been doing some research on it. And they're saying, a lot of it they're saying that the meat is causing it.
No, it's not.
Part of the issue. That's what I thought, but I wanted to call and maybe get some ideas what you think.
Yeah, I'd love to hear somebody's explanation because the stones themselves are going to be made out of calcium oxalate.
Mm-hmm.
Oxalates come from plants. If we didn't have the buildup of oxalates in our body, we wouldn't have the stones. So I don't know how we correlate this back to the one food that doesn't cause this. Now, all of us ate enough of the standard American diet long enough that we all have the potential to develop these problems with oxalates. Could be gallstones, could be kidney stones, could be 20 other things that can happen from an overload of oxalates. One of the things we found is that the more clean you eat, keto or carnivore, the more likely you are to see the problems. Our body starts oxalate dumping. Now, that doesn't mean we should go back to the standard American diet. What it means is you should start managing your oxalate load, and you should make sure you're getting a good mineral balance, because it's the imbalance of other minerals that can cause the oxalates to form into stones. We also might want to take a look at your fat digestion. Poor fat digestion can cause more problems with oxalates and oxalate buildup. So the first thing I would try is to manage your diet so you get about 250 milligrams of oxalates a day. So for a little while, you're going to have to look up foods. Since there are some oxalate-heavy foods that I like, I just make sure I get about 250 milligrams of oxalates in those foods, and I kind of avoid the other high oxalate foods. So my go-to is chocolate. Dark chocolate is high in oxalates, but that's where I get my – for some reason, if we can keep our oxalate level around 250 milligrams a day, then our body will slowly start to get rid of all the excess oxalate. But if we go zero, like carnivore, our body starts dumping oxalates too fast, and that's when we see these problems.
Okay.
So it's a complication.
So there's not hardly any oxalates in meat then. What about dairy products, cheese, and stuff like that?
No, the carnivore diet is almost completely void of oxalates. And that's when we see the problems. And we did a whole mini-series on this. You can find it on the app. We did a three-part mini-series. But the conclusion was when you go carnivore, it's – I don't want to say common, but it's more common that's when these problems show up. And it sounds backwards, but when we had Sally on the show, she wrote a book on this, Toxic Superfoods. Sally K. Norton.
I think I remember hearing her talk on your show before.
She has devoted decades to this kind of research on this one issue. And she finally worked out that if you keep the right amount of oxalates in your diet, your body has a better time dealing with them, and it will slowly get rid of that oxalate overload.
Okay.
So if beets are high in oxalates, spinach is high in oxalates, dark chocolate, almonds are actually pretty darn high in oxalates. So you got to watch. Sometimes on keto or carnivore, we tend to use.
Almond
flour. Okay. So
we do a little bit of almond flour on occasion.
Yeah, I would pay attention and see if you can keep your number around 250. See how that works.
Uh-huh. Okay. How's Cardio Miracle? How's that? Has it got any in it?
It does because of the beets, but I don't.
I heard you mention beets. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. It does because of the beets. I take Cardio Miracle every day, and I still shoot for 250 milligrams other than what's in cardio. I've never even counted what's in cardio.
Okay. Yeah, because I drink one glass of that a day.
Yeah, I do too. And I've never really counted those.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'll see if I can keep an eye on that. I'll look it up.
All right.
And see what my
sounds good.
Like, so. Okay.
Give me a call back. Let me know how that works. Let's go to Michigan. Karen, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What can I help you with today?
I'm having gut problems, and I've had lots of tests done, upper GIs, lower GIs, and been diagnosed with irritable bowel, diverticulosis, and all the normal things that they tell you have. I have taken my daughter's advice because she listens to you all the time, and I've gone on a keto diet.
Okay.
And I'm leery to go pure carnivore because I've been dealing with so much. I think it's will be a terrible shock to my system. So I've eliminated all grains, and I've eliminated sugar, and I've been on it for about 14 days.
Okay.
I haven't lost drastic weight. I feel like I've lost inches, but I have not had a stomach attack.
Good.
I'm still taking medication that they prescribed for me.
What
and I
is
would
it?
Like to wean Prilosec and Dicyclamine.
Okay, definitely the Prilosec you need to get off of.
Okay.
Actually, both of
okay.
them, but the Prilosec first, and I know that's over-the-counter, but it's just bad for us. It's really bad for us.
Okay.
But I'm glad that you're already seeing some relief, and there is tons of evidence that both keto or carnivore will make a significant improvement in all of these digestive issues. I think one of the biggest reasons is I think the grains are really, really irritating. And I think by getting rid of grains, you made a big improvement.
Seems to be that way. I've listened to you the last 2 weeks, but I ordered the gut analysis, the $370 one. And so that should be coming, and I'm hoping that that tells you that I can find
it
out
will
something.
Tell us, I see in the notes that you don't have a gallbladder or a thyroid, right?
True, and that was one of my concerns is I've read that that can have an issue on how you're digesting things.
Absolutely. The gallbladder certainly does, but have you ever heard about bile salts?
Yes, and I thought I went to your store. I saw it, but I wanted to talk to you before I order it. And then I was getting that test done, and I didn't know if I should wait till after that.
No, there are some supplements I can actually recommend. You need bile salts for the rest of your life.
Okay.
Most supplements, I try to use them to solve a problem, and then I try to get people off of them and get our nutrition from food. But you have lost an important part of your digestive system. I don't know why doctors treat this like it's a spare part. It's not. When you eat fat, which fat is really, really good for us, we should have a lot of fat in our diet. That's why ketogenic diets work so well, because they're high in fat. But when you eat fat, the first step a really important step in the process of digesting that fat is that your gallbladder is supposed to see how much fat is there, and it releases bile. And bile acts exactly like when you put some dishwashing detergent in a sink full of greasy dishes. You know, you can see the fat floating around, and then and it's just gone, right?
Right.
That's what bile does. Bile takes fat and kind of takes it apart so we can digest it. Your body is still producing bile because your liver produces the bile, but it is your gallbladder's job to sense how much fat you just ate and release the proper amount of bile when you need it to digest the fat. Does that all make sense so far?
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense.
So when you take the gallbladder out, the liver produces bile, but it just constantly drips into your intestines because there's nothing there to meter it. So now what happens is that bile is very irritating to your gut. That's part of your problem with pain and urgency, and because you've got bile in your intestines all the time, and it's irritating. But then when you do eat a lot of fat, and especially if you're on a ketogenic diet, now there's a bunch of fat there and not enough bile to digest it.
Okay.
That's probably one of the reasons you're not losing weight. We're not getting you into ketosis because you might be eating all the fat, but you're not digesting it.
Gotcha. Okay.
So now what you do is you take a supplement, it's just a capsule, and you start to figure out dosing based on how much fat you ate. So for example, if I'm going to do a an NDK coffee in the morning where I'm going to put fat in my coffee, butter and coconut
right.
oil. I normally recommend people take, if you don't have a gallbladder, take two capsules of bile salts with your coffee because there's quite a bit of fat
okay.
in there. If you're going to
okay.
eat short ribs, you know, with more butter and, you know, a lot of fat, you might even find sometimes you'll take three or four capsules with a big meal heavy in fat. And over time, you'll kind of learn to manage the amount. But you will need bile salts for the rest of your life to do what your gallbladder used to do.
How am I going to know if I'm taking enough? I mean,
if you take too much, you will probably start to have more constant diarrhea.
Okay.
So if you're not taking enough, sometimes the clues will be right in the toilet bowl. Light-colored stools, gray-colored stools, or you can actually see fat floating on the water sometimes.
Oh, okay.
And that's a sign that you could have used more bile salt to help break down that fat. So like I said, over time, you're going to kind of learn how to manage it. But I see people right from day one, the first time they take a bile salt, they notice a difference.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. What about the gallbladder? The gallbladder, the thyroid, do I need to do anything there or?
Probably, but that's going to get a little more complicated. So what I'd like to work on first are your digestive issues, and then we'll come back to the thyroid.
Okie doke. Sounds good to me.
So you're on the right track. Couple little tweaks here, and I think you're going to see a couple changes. I think you'll see less pain over time. And ultimately, a good ketogenic or carnivore diet will heal this. This is completely
really?
Fixed.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, good. Will I get a call or do I make a call after the test is sent
you
back in?
You should get an email with the results, and then you can always call in here and we'll go over them on the air with you.
Okay.
Or
okay.
You might
want
to consider a month of the group coaching. Then I can.
Yeah, I would be interested.
Yeah, then I'll be able to, like, if you were to send me your thyroid numbers right now, I can't do those on the air. I can do the fit test and the gut barrier on the air. It's fairly simple. I've done enough of them. Thyroid, I've got to dig in and do some calculation and think about some things and the more history.
Sure. Makes sense. And I'd be happy to do that coaching. How do I go about that? Do I call in or again, or do they just connect me after this call? Did I lose you?